Insights from the Wise.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The markets don't move for many people, but two that do hold sway had a lot to say this morning: investing guru Warren Buffett and Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. Buffett said he thinks we're in a recession right now, but has faith in the strength of the dollar. Bernanke wasn't so sure. He said inflation is a major concern and that we need to step up oversight of this country's financial institutions to prevent future shocks. Those institutions are absorbing some major shocks today. Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, and Merrill Lynch have joined the list of financial heavyweights to settle a fraud probe into auction rate securities. And regulators aren't stopping there, as Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Regulators have forced the banks that created auction rate securities to buy back $57 billion in debt. Now they're going after the brokers that helped sell the debt to the public. Tamar Frankel is a law professor at Boston University.
Some people received these notes and thought that they were like money in the bank, something that you will get within 7 days, and found out that they were stuck for 10 years.
There are actually two probes, one by the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, another by New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo. The brokerages being targeted include E-Trade, Fidelity, and Charles Schwab. James Cox with Duke University says this is about more than recovering investors' money.
Going after everybody who has responsibility really sends an important message to the market, and that is there's a line out there, and don't cross it, and better yet, don't even get close to it.
Brokerages will have to open up their books starting Monday. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Oil is down to $118 a barrel today after skyrocketing on Thursday, and that has the markets feeling good. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 1.3% to 11,577. The Nasdaq up 0.9% to 2402. The S&P 500 up 0.75% to 1287. And oil's not the only commodity that's had a wild week. Corn and soybeans gained about 10%. Gold is set to rack up its biggest gain in 6 years. Fittingly enough, two commodities giants are coming together this morning. CME Group will officially acquire the New York Mercantile Exchange. NYMEX is the world's biggest energy market.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
Chocoholics better start saving. Last week, Hershey's announced it was raising prices. Now Mars is following suit. The cost of M&Ms, Snickers, and the like will jump more than 10%. All told, it's a sweet week for the candy maker, though. Mars has scored big with an Olympic ad campaign for Snickers.
势力架,横扫金额,活力无限。
Snickers has been available in China for about 15 years, but it hadn't really taken off. Then the candy bar became the official chocolate of the Olympic Games, and Chinese sales jumped 75%. It's just too bad sneakers aren't seeing that Snickers effect. Adidas is the official shoe of the Olympic Games, but Puma is getting all the traction. That's thanks to the success of a Jamaican sprinter, as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
1 hour. That's how quickly Puma's Usain Bolt shoe sold out in Beijing yesterday. That's the same shoe Bolt held up and kissed before the TV cameras after winning the gold medal. The Jamaican showboater plays well to Chinese fans and to Puma's image, says brand consultant Mary Bergstrom.
Puma is perceived largely in China as a niche, styly brand. So having a Jamaican sprinter be a representative of your brand actually fits in quite well.
Puma's coup is the second for an upstart shoe company in the Beijing Olympics. On opening night, Chinese Olympic legend Li Ning lit the flame. He founded an up-and-coming Chinese sneaker company. All this undercuts Adidas, which paid more than $100 million to be an official sponsor. Adidas also bet on the wrong sprinter. American Tyson Gay goes home with no medals. Nike, meanwhile, rushed out a special edition track spike for Chinese hurdler Liu Xiang. He pulled out injured. In Beijing, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
NBC took a big risk when it paid $900 million for the rights to air the Olympic Games. Now the network says it's on track to turn a $100 million profit. Michael Spire is the executive editor of Daily Variety. Mike, the Summer Games have traditionally been pretty hit or miss. How did NBC pull it off?
NBC got very lucky this year by negotiating for prime time rights. By having Michael Phelps' quest for 8 gold medals, I mean, NBC did a lot of things right. They had a lot of things going their way. And the combination of all of that just meant really record ratings and just showing you what network television can do given the right amount of money and the right amount of time.
Right. I mean, NBC's ratings are sort of unprecedented. 30 million viewers on average, and then I think they had almost 40 million for Phelps' 8th run at the gold medal.
Right. I mean, they're claiming that these are the most watched Olympics ever, but this was the first Olympics that were broadcast and promoted as something that you could either watch on television or at your desk. So this was a huge hit, not just for television, but for how to broadcast events online as well, because a lot of people have always been wondering how to monetize that and how to succeed with that.
Well, how is NBC going to roll this forward? Because its entertainment division has struggled a little bit, and
right.
I know that it's trying to sort of promote its political coverage going forward. But how is this going to work for NBC long term, if at all?
Well, having the Olympics to show all of your future stuff is better than not having the Olympics to show all your future stuff.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself is a success. The problem is we've seen this kind of thing before when, for instance, Fox had the World Series a few years back and spent all this time promoting its upcoming series. It didn't do anything for them, and a lot of those series got canceled right away. Yes, it's wonderful to show Kath and Kim and Knight Rider and all those kind of new primetime shows constantly to audiences of 30 million people a night. I mean, that's a wonderful attribute for your network. But in the end, if the shows aren't there, then NBC's got problems, and NBC has had problems recently. Their entertainment division, their primetime stuff has been almost non-existent. And so if the shows aren't quite there, people forget about the Olympics and they're going to tune out and tune into something else. So they have a lot to worry about. Their news division is fine, but their primetime stuff and their entertainment stuff has a lot to be desired.
Mike Spire is the executive editor of Daily Variety. Mike, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.